Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jufro.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view. Thank you, Arnie Sallon, for that Father's Day gift song he made for me. The last Father's Day, not this past one, but the one before. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. Follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. And we are going to continue with Pastor Drew Sams, who's the head pastor at the Bel Air Presbyterian Church in Bel Air, California. And he's the proud parent of Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome again, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
It's a joy to have you for two segments. So we talked about some pretty heavy-duty stuff with what's going on in Israel in the previous segment. I'd like to move on to this week's column, which is another in my blog series about men and women. And I write it as men versus women, and I'm going to eventually write a book which will be called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Men and Women, inspired by these columns. There's a liberal belief or a belief in campuses that men and women are essentially the same except for certain body parts, and that the way we're raised and or society creates our various interests. I assert that that's bunk. That men and women were made by God to be different, not better or worse. And that's the key thing to understand, but different. And that instead of trying to be the same, we're better off honoring, celebrating the differences, which is why marriage is such an interesting institution when, of course, it's between a man and a woman. Because in essence, what I get from my wife is what I don't have inherently in my, you know, being as a man. And what she gets from me is not what she would normally think of and the way she looks at the world because of her being a woman. So that's kind of the theory of the column, and I'd love your general thoughts on this and anything you think you'd like to add from the Bible and God.
Yeah. You know, I'll start there right on that last point you made, just what the Bible reveals. You know, I find it so fascinating. Right in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it gives two different accounts of creation. One is kind of the you know, big macro, the zoomed out, the big picture view, and this is the one where it begins with, and God said, let there be light. And so light was made, and it goes on, and there's day one, day two, day three, goes on and on, however people believe how much time that was. The point was, at the end of all of that, it says, and God said, let us make humankind in our image. And that's a whole deep theological thing that I don't have time to unpack, but it then says, and so God made them male and female. And I think that very clearly, right from the beginning, we get this picture that to be made in the image of God is both male and female. You know, often we think of God as, the masculine version of man, but right there in the beginning it says to be made in the image of God is both male and female. So somehow, both the man and woman together, we get this beautiful picture of the fullness of who God is and to be made in the image of God. Then the second creation account, that's in Genesis chapter 2, is kind of like the zoomed-in version. That's where we get the story of Adam and Eve. But I don't know if we've talked about this. Actually, when you look at the original Hebrew, and stop me if you want to ask me anything along the way, but in the original Hebrew, there's this beautiful language where it says, and God reaches into the ground, and the word for ground is the word Adama. And he pulls out the Adam, and that's where we get the name Adam from. But really, when you look at it, it's actually a pun. It's a play on words. He reaches into the ground, this Adama, and pulls out the Adam.
What is the Adam supposed to be? I'm assuming it's Adam, but did it have a different meaning in the context of the Bible?
It does, because in the Hebrew, and this is when I tell this to people, their jaw drops, or they think I'm crazy, but when you look at the Hebrew, that word Adam isn't a masculine word, nor is it a feminine word. It's a gender-neutral word. It literally means earth creature or from the earth creature. Mm. So God takes this Adam, this from the earth creature that isn't male nor female, and puts it in the garden to care for, to cultivate it, and then says there's no suitable helper for, in the Hebrew, it's this earth creature. Then that's where we get the line, it's not good for, we in the English, we translate, it's not good for man to be alone, but literally in the Hebrew, it's not good for this earth creature to be alone. So God brings in the animals. The earth creature names them. Still no suitable suitor, and the helper is able to be found. And this is what's so amazing. God takes this earth creature, puts this earth creature to sleep, this Adam, and out of the side, which is such a great, beautiful picture of equality, it's not taking it out of the foot, saying that, you know, this being that comes out is less than, or it's not out of the head that's greater, but out of the side, meaning equality. And then the amazing thing is the Hebrew in that moment changes. And it literally says, and out of the side of the earth creature came Isha, which is the Hebrew word for woman. And then this earth creature, which now no longer does it say earth creature, but the language changes in that moment to Ish, which means man. And wow. So this man wakes up and says, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, God has made woman, for he's pulled it out of man. And then it says, Moses...
So it sounds like you're telling me that the Bible was not politically correct.
Not politically correct at all. And it's not. And so
maybe we need to get a revision. The politically correct Bible by a professor of a religion at Stanford. Or better yet, Berkeley. Berkeley is where they should do that.
Yeah, they definitely should. They wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say the next line, which is, and a man shall leave his family and cleave or become one with his wife, and the two shall become one, and this is a mystery. And it, like you said at the beginning of the segment, like you said in the column, there are these differences. There's equality in their differences. One is embedded than the other, but the two becoming one are so much greater. You know, the parts are, or what is it, the sum is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
And when you come together in a marriage, it's so much deeper, richer. A greater view of food, for example, you talked about in your column. I was laughing even as I was just taking a look at it again a moment ago. I think about my wife and I and how different, just how we approach food, where we want to have dinner, all the things that you brought up in that column. It's so true. I think it's we'd be remiss to think that there are differences between...
Look, there's a bottom line fact. Men that are married live longer than men that are not married. What does that mean? Okay, I believe it's very simple. The woman tames the dark side of us, teaches us certain things that we need as far as just basic survival, taking care of ourselves, even if it's just a reminder to go to the dentist. Because a lot of men are lame about that stuff, or the doctor for a checkup. Or if you find out you've got high cholesterol, the woman is gonna say, honey, skip that dish that has, you know, the French fries. Okay, the guys alone won't do it. So we actually live longer in a healthy marriage. That's just a bottom line fact.
Yeah, case in point, my mother-in-law finally convinced my father-in-law, this is my wife's parents, to finally go and get a checkup that he's been putting off for at least 5 years, I think is what they said. And they caught colon cancer. They just caught it this week on Monday. And the doctor says, if you would have waited any longer, it could have been much worse. Huh. And, you know, and that was because his wife was pushing, prodding, nagging, he might have said. But thankfully, she was able to continue with that. And he finally went in and they caught it.
And it works the other way for women with things that men will offer. Although, ironically, women do better alone than men. So there's a whole, you could make an argument that it's one directional in this case. Very interesting. Yeah. I love that story. I never knew that.
Well, it's so fascinating. I think, you know, going back to the segment from before, how you were saying that there's this upside down view of morality, this inversion, you know, to be politically correct today does the same with gender. You know, and even we live in the U.S. I don't know if you saw the cover of Time magazine about 2 months ago, and the topic right now in our society is there's 1.5 million reported transgender individuals. So not only do we have this debate over are men and women equal, are they the same, but now you have over, you know, 1.5 million people saying, well, I've chosen my gender and it's different than how I was born.
You know, well, there's some places that allow you, some counties or cities that allow you to declare your sex regardless of anything physiological, just by your own choice. And you can fill it out and live your life as a woman, enroll in school as a woman if you think you're a woman, or the other way if you think you're a man. Well, it's gotten beyond upside down. I think it's just gotten out and out crazy. Listen, Pastor Drew, we're out of time. I do have one very quick question. Do you read Hebrew?
I do.
Do you read Aramaic also?
No, I can't read Aramaic. So all I know is Hebrew and that Koine Greek.
Well, that's really gives you a deeper understanding of the Bible, because there are just things in Hebrew, as little as I know about it, that just aren't translatable into English. So I'm very glad for that expertise. Quickly tell us where our listeners can find you and where you're not blogging.
Well, on all social networks, at Surfer Drew, and our church's website is Bel Air Press with 1S.org, and hopefully I'll get back one day to DrewSams.com.
I do hope so, and at the very least, I hope I'll collaborate with you on a few things. Listen, have a great weekend, Pastor Drew. Stay tuned, everyone, for Dr. Weberman after these messages.
Let me tell you a little story about a dude I know. His name is Bruce Allen. He used to have a Jew.